Welcome to the St. Ninian's Community Church Lent Podcast. My name's Josh, and today we're going to be reflecting together on Luke chapter 8, verses 26 to 39. They sailed to the region of the Gerasenes, which is across the lake from Galilee. When Jesus stepped ashore, he was met by a demon-possessed man from the town. For a long time, this man had not worn clothes or lived in a house, but had lived in the tombs. When he saw Jesus, he cried out and fell at his feet, shouting at the top of his voice, "What do you want with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I beg you, don't torture me." For Jesus had commanded the evil spirit to come out of the man. Many times it had seized him, and though he was chained hand and foot and kept under guard, he had broken his chains and had been driven by the demon into solitary places. Jesus asked him, "What is your name?" "Legion," he replied, because many demons had gone into him, and they begged him repeatedly not to order them to go into the abyss. A large herd of pigs was feeding there on the hillside. The demons begged Jesus to let them go into them, and he gave them permission. When the demons came out of the man, they went into the pigs, and the herd rushed down the steep bank into the lake and was drowned. When those tending the pigs saw what had happened, they ran off and reported this in the town and countryside, and the people went out to see what had happened. When they came to Jesus, they found the man from whom the demons had gone out sitting at Jesus' feet, dressed and in his right mind, and they were afraid. Those who had seen it told the people how the demon-possessed man had been cured. Then all the people of the region of the Gerasenes asked Jesus to leave them, because they were overcome with fear. So he got into the boat and left. The man from whom the demons had gone out begged to go with him, but Jesus sent him away, saying, "Return home and tell how much God has done for you." So the man went away and told all over the town how much Jesus had done for him. I don't know if you've heard this phrase, or maybe you've even used it yourself a couple of times, but it goes like this: you'll either love it or you'll hate it. It's something we say, isn't it, when people are going to have a strong reaction to something. I'm an Aussie. And in Australia, we say this about the table spread Vegemite. You're going to either love it or hate it. There's no middle ground. You love it or you hate it. And the theme of our podcasts this year is encounters with Jesus. And like Vegemite, Jesus is someone who you're either going to love or you're going to hate. There is no middle ground. Jesus is like a rock in the middle of a stream, and the water's going to go this way or it's going to go that way around the rock. But one way or the other, the water will divide around this rock in the middle of the stream. In Luke chapter 12, Jesus himself says that he has come to divide father from son, mother from daughter, not for the sake of sowing division, but simply because of who he is. People will either love him or they'll hate him, and so they'll divide because of who Jesus is. And we see these two responses in our Bible passage today. First, we meet a demon-possessed man. And friends, we couldn't think of a more unlikely candidate to react well to Jesus, could we? Surely this man is not going to be someone who loves Jesus, who reacts well to Jesus. He's a man without hope. He's enslaved by demons, kept in chains. This is probably to protect him from himself that he's chained up, because in Mark chapter 5, when Mark tells this his version of this story, he adds the detail that this man often cut himself with sharp rocks. And so he's probably kept in chains by others in order to protect him from himself. But the demons have made him so strong, he's torn the chains off, and he's gone to live in the tombs, the most unclean place imaginable in the Jewish mind. He's living among the tombs, he's torn his clothes off, he's naked, and he's out of his mind. Here's a man who's beyond hope, beyond redemption, beyond help. But what happens? He falls down before Jesus, a sign of recognition of who Jesus is. And then he shouts out, "Jesus, Son of the Most High God." He recognizes Jesus for who he is. Now, it's not quite clear who's speaking there. Is it him or is it the demon? But either way, this is someone who somehow recognizes who Jesus is. And when we read through the Gospels, we see many times people asking, "Who is this man?" and not recognizing Jesus. But this man does. He calls him Son of the Most High God. And then Jesus casts the demons out of him. And the next time we see this man, he's sitting at Jesus' feet, clothed in his right mind. And this image of him sitting at Jesus' feet, it's a posture of discipleship, isn't it? He's become a follower. And at the end of our story, we see him begging Jesus to be able to go with him. This is a man whose life has been completely transformed by his encounter with Jesus. There's another encounter with Jesus that we see here, and it's the crowd. And in this story, there couldn't be anyone more likely to react well to Jesus, to love him, because these people are eyewitnesses of the miracle that Jesus has just done. They've seen the miraculous. They've received back their friend who was possessed and tortured by demons. But what happens? They ask Jesus to leave. They don't want a part of what he's doing. They don't want his miracles. They don't want his transformation in their lives. It seems they're more concerned about the loss of their property in the herd of pigs than they are about this man who has been transformed. And friends, as we look at these two encounters with Jesus, I wonder what sort of encounter you and I might have with Jesus today. I don't know where you're at in life. Maybe you've had a life that's been very difficult. You consider your life maybe broken. Maybe you feel like you've made far too many mistakes for God to be mucking around with the likes of you. "I'm too far gone." Maybe that's how you feel. And yet, friends, the fantastic message of this encounter that we see between Jesus and the demon-possessed man is that there is no one beyond redemption, no one beyond Jesus' help, no one beyond salvation. Maybe you've been a Christian believer for a while and you followed the Lord, but maybe it feels a bit like you've become distracted by some of the pleasures and anxieties of everyday life. I've experienced that in my life. It's so easy to get dragged aside by just the stuff of everyday life. And I know in my life, oftentimes, I get to the stage where it seems like I value my herd of pigs above other people, certainly above an encounter with Jesus. But there's hope and there's grace even for us, friends, if that is our situation. This story is a story of grace, a story of a man's life that was completely transformed by an encounter with Jesus. And the overriding message is that Jesus has the power and the authority to completely transform our lives. There is no one who's beyond help. And so I pray that you will have an encounter with the living God today, an encounter that will transform your life. It's interesting to notice that the crowd ask Jesus to leave, and he does, because Jesus is after a personal encounter, a two-way relationship. And so, friends, I pray that you won't ask Jesus to leave today, but that you'll have an encounter where instead your life is transformed and you receive all the blessings that Jesus has for you. Let me pray and ask that that might be our reality today. Heavenly Father, thank you that you love us so much and so deeply that you sent your Son into our world to pay the penalty for our sin and our shame and our error and our brokenness. Thank you that not one of us is beyond salvation or redemption. And we pray that you might meet us where we're at today and transform our lives forever.